The regular season has come to a close, and the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast wraps a pretty bow on it before heading into the playoffs. Avi, Matt, Rhiannon, and Corbett talk about the games and the tiebreakers that finished filling out the playoff brackets. Mansfield Timberview's coin flip sent Waxahachie packing and kept Lancaster away from South Oak Cliff, while the Colony and Hebron put themselves into the field with wins. Did we mention playoffs? Yep, we break down the Region 1 and Region 2 brackets from 6A to 3A, plus the TAPS playoffs as well, on this extended podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we're finally at the playoffs. It's just a two-man crew for now. I think Greg Riddle is home with a sick child. Mm-hmm. Best of luck, Greg. Avi Zalin could be rolling in here any minute. He's trying to get our online fancy dudded up online brackets ready, which will have locations and times, unlike a lot of other brackets. A pretty fancy situation there. And it is just me and Matt Wixon. Hey,
hello.
Matt.
Hello.
And it's a Barry White-esque Matt Wixon.
Very gravelly. You know, the most disappointing thing is I'm going to have to cancel my concert this weekend.
Oh, I know.
They've been looking forward to the fans and everything. So,
yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you're a great tenor.
Yes.
Hey, that squeak of the door is Avi Zalin joining us late, but still joining us here at the intro.
That's a warm welcome. Hi. Joining us late?
Late. No, he's got to get that bracket ready. And
We know the people want the brackets, baby.
We will talk about games that we are watching in part one, and then we'll probably split up the playoffs into parts two and three, so it'll make it more palatable for you. We'll talk 6A, 5A, and the first one, and then 3A, 4A, and private schools in part three. Hey, Avi, how are you?
Sorry. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know how he scratched that microphone. We had a guy in here checking mics, and yet... we didn't get it
that's
right.
How late am I? What did I miss?
You didn't miss anything. We're just starting podcast.
I got the introduction. I got caught talking to a Mr. Francis Scuddy. So.
And who is that for our regular listeners?
He's my boss.
Oh, well, there you go. When the boss calls, you have to stop and drop.
He's in charge
Open up shop. Thanks, DMX. Okay. There was not a ton of games that really mattered. You know, there were some games that, you know, were kind of interesting here and there. We'll talk a little bit about DeSoto and the interesting goings-on that happened there that really didn't have a lot to do with the result, one, DeAnderson did play. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But as far as impactful games go, there probably weren't as many as the previous week. You had a lot of things decided in Week 10.
Right.
Week 11 was just kind of a shakeout. Matt, you were in the office the whole time.
Yeah.
It's one of those rare weeks of the season. I think this is the only week of the season where you don't go out on Friday night. You stay in and try to figure things out.
Yeah, it reminds me why I went back to writing off of the desk. But, I mean, in one sense, you know, I didn't have a responsibility of having to cover a game. So I got to check on what was going on with a lot of others. And it was pretty cool.
You had your slippers on. You had some microwave popcorn
pretty
ready.
Pretty much, yep.
Good thing about that is there was some drama. Of course, I started the show on the television simulcast, radio / whatever we do there at Fox Sports Southwest in the Ticket. I started the show talking about, Hatchie, they lost, but they're still in the playoffs. I ended up, kicking that can down the road. I had to come back to it at the end of the show and say, well, I was actually wrong about that. But pretty remarkable debacle there. Matt, you actually talked to James Brown after the coin flip happened and after they got in. Here's the rundown. Hatchie lost in kind of a shocking fashion. They were there very close, and then a 100-yard interception
by eight
return.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah, a 100-yard interception return by Lancaster gives Lancaster a 2-score lead, and Lancaster ends up winning that game. The score was 41-27, but it was a lot closer than that indicates. Summit and Timberview were back and forth. Timberview actually had a lead in the fourth quarter, but Summit ends up winning that game 33-29 on a late score. And what you had happen at that point was with a legacy win, there was a three-way tie with teams at three and four in district play. I had the tiebreaker wrong. I thought you went to points and that it was positive, negative points. Waxahachie would advance on that because Waxahachie beat Timberview by a maximum points. They beat them by the max 15, and had lost to Legacy by 7. So they were the leader in the clubhouse on points. But instead of that, it's positive points only, which means that you only take the max points. If somebody took like a max points win, you would just advance them forward. That created a tie because both Timberview and Hatchie had max points wins. They were both positive 15s in respective games. They don't go back to head-to-head if there is a tie between two teams. There's a coin flip.
Right. And Legacy was eliminated.
Right.
And then you had Hatchie and Timberview. And no head-to-head, but Hatchie had beat Timberview, so very disappointing for Waxahachie. Timberview won the coin flip. But it was interesting when I was talking to James Brown, Timberview's coach. You know, he said it was such an interesting situation because they're at a Whataburger in Midlothian.
Yeah.
And, you know, the game was still fresh in their minds. They felt like they gave the game – not necessarily
Much
gave
like
the game
the
away.
Beef. Sorry, go ahead.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, flipping coins next to flipping burgers. But, you know, they were up until Summit got the winning score with like 20 seconds left.
Yep.
So they're still thinking about, man, what could we have done to win that game? And suddenly they're just, you know, like flipping a coin for the season. And Brown just said at that point, he says, well, all you can do is just, you know, throw it up and see what happens.
Was it Tails Never Fails?
It was, yeah. Tails Never Fails.
I believe it was. I like that. Hey, Rihanna, what's up?
Not much, Corbett. You know, it seems to me that every time a team calls Tails, it's usually against the Cowboys, and they always seem to get the ball. That's when Tails Never Fails.
Tails Never Fails. Tails Never Fails all the time. That's the way it works. You know, there actually is one side of the coin that is a little bit heavier than the other. Yeah. I can't remember which one. But it is not a 50-50 coin flip because if you do it over millions of times, that heavier side will fall to the bottom.
I'm like such a Yankee. I like the scene in Friday Night Lights where they are saying which coin everybody has, and it's like, oh, well, I got my special 1952 silver dollar.
My flipping coin.
Right, and it's like, well, what you got there is just good old American quarter.
Well, this was great luck for Timberview, as you would expect, but it's also great luck for Lancaster. Mm-hmm. Because if Hatchie made the playoffs, Lancaster would fall to they were going to be a Division II team. They would fall to the runner-up in Division II and have to play South Oak Cliff, a team they lost to in the first round last year. Mm-hmm. If you look at all those teams out of 13-5A, which is the respective district that they have to face, really Sauk is the only team that is probably going to significantly challenge a team out of 14-5A. So I thought, man, that's a tough break for Chris Gilbert and his kids. They're going to have to go and play Sauk again. I'm sure, you know, they would be excited about it, and it would be one of the best first-round matchups.
Oh, yeah.
It does not happen that way, though. Timberview gets in. Lancaster is now the champion in Division II. It's bad luck for Summit, who ends up being the runner-up in the Division I bracket. They would have been pushed to Division II and been the champion.
Which is so weird.
It is.
I mean, God, such a good team.
Well, but I mean, it's, you know, in that.
So is Carroll.
Yeah.
Cedar Hill.
Cedar Hill, yeah. In that setup, right. There's really not going to be an extremely soft spot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only teams that can get a real break are teams maybe like Lancaster now, who ends up playing Seagoville, and they're going to be a heavy favorite against Seagoville.
Right.
There's a couple of spots in the playoffs in the first round only that you might be able to say, oh, there's a clear two or three touchdown favorite in that game. And that's what Lancaster ended up getting. Otherwise, once you get past that first round, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Right.
You know, there's going to be good teams falling
and
left
I think,
right.
And I think this is the right way to do it. I mean, it's obviously there's a lot of, we can point to different scenarios where it's like, oh, man, those are, you know, like obviously Carroll and Cedar Hill's the example that jumps out. But I think, like, if the UIL ever tried to do, like, subjective seeding, it would just go terribly
wrong.
Yes,
we have written about that.
Matt has done a story about that.
You wrote about that, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if they could seed the region. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's possible, that the UIL could use some sort of power ranking formula to seed a region.
You could perhaps use ranking, like state rankings?
I don't think you'd want to use state rankings. I think you'd want to use a computer poll to take the human element out of it. But yeah, that way you could just arbitrarily point to something, because once it starts getting farther down, you know, the difference between the 16th and the 17th team, you know, that's a sticky wicket once you go there. It could be done. The thing that I really have kind of come around on is the idea that the UIL just needs to go split division like they do in the other classifications. I'm coming around to that thought. It really doesn't matter competitively in 6A. A lot of people think, well, you create a super conference. Well, you're not going to create a super conference. You're going to split it up into 120 teams. the bottom part of that 120 are going to be very close to the rest of the the pack. It, you know, the separation is really with the massive schools up at the top, that you have these 5,000, 6,000 students schools. There are not that many of them, though. Those are outliers, and it would pull a arbitrary line in the middle from about, you know, 2,200 to about 3,000. There are a lot of high schools in that mix. Mm-hmm. So you'd end up just culling a top line and making those schools go up.
Right.
But for competitive sake, you know, I think it just makes it clear for everybody if you say, here's your, you know, here's who you're going to be facing,
right,
and here's who you're going to be facing in the playoffs, and you do that before the start of the season. A school that has nothing to do with our coverage area is Everman. Everman beats Burleson. Burleson actually had incentive to lose that game. According to Matt Stepp from the old coach, they didn't toss that game. They played their starters. But if Everman lost the game against Everman, Everman makes the playoffs, and Burleson...
Burleson lost the game against Everman.
No, but if Burleson loses against Everman, they go into a better spot in the playoffs. They go to the championship level as opposed to the runner-up, and they get to push Aledo into an opposite entire division where they don't have to face Aledo again, you know, for the remainder of the 2015 season. It behooved them in every fashion to lose that game. There was no incentive for them to win it besides pride and, you know, a better district record. If they'd have won it, they would have been the runner-up in Division II behind behind Aledo. Instead, Alito's pushed to Division One with the loss. Everman gets in the playoffs. They're now the champion and get the top seed and get an easier first-round opponent. It's a silly system, and it really is a head-scratcher to a lot of people who are outside of the state of Texas when you try to explain it.
It's just such a funny change in mentality to me from what I'm used. So, like, before this, I was working in Beaumont, Texas, and at the Beaumont Enterprise, and with the local teams we covered, at least on the 6A and 5A and even, like, 4A Division I level, like, they knew they didn't have really a shot at state. Like, you'll, like, make the playoffs, and that's, like, considered an accomplishment, but they just know when they run into bigger Houston teams, you know, for by and large, like, you're going to be a pretty heavy underdog.
Right.
And it was just so interesting coming here. And so what that does is it makes the district championship, like, a thing, right? Like, that adds, like, a lot of meaning because it's, like, you know, that's something everybody's, you know, kind of shooting for. And it's just kind of funny coming here where it's, like, if Cedar Hill doesn't win district, they're like, yeah, whatever. Okay, we'll go try to win a state title now, you know? And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's different at different levels and in different areas, but, like, by and large, I've just kind of seen, like, just by watching, you know, the Twitterverse and stuff, that district championships aren't that big a deal.
Well, they're still
all
a big deal for some districts, but there are other districts where the thought is, okay, we're going to make, you know, we could conceivably make it to the semifinals, and then it would be a crapshoot.
Right.
And in this case, getting away from Aledo in the Region 1 bracket.
Oh, sure.
That's like the magic. That's the magic
bullet. How far in advance do you think, like, coaches, like, understand these, you know, scenarios and, like, these?
Way ahead. Some of them at
least. Yeah, some of them way ahead.
Because it's something they go through, like, year in and year out.
And some of them the week of. You know, you get into a situation that final week of the season, they take a look at where things lie. I don't think you'll ever get a coach to say that they're actively losing. I've tried to find a coach that would be willing to say that. I don't think those coaches exist.
Well, they wouldn't be a coach much longer.
They might rest their starters, though. And, you know, had a couple of coaches that say, well, if we got guys banged up,
we're doing it in a passive-aggressive way.
Another team that I think had incentive to lose was Sachse. Sachse playing Rowlett for the top seed into the 6A Region 2 Division 1 playoffs.
They knocked out Garland.
No, they didn't.
No, Garland backed in.
Right. I always got – that's the one I really got confused
Right, Rowlett. If Rowlett would have won that based on the other results, Tyler Lee would have advanced and Garland would have
won. Right.
Rowlett did win.
No. If Sachse won.
Sachse won, right. Yeah. What needed to happen was a Sachse win, a Garland loss to Rockwall, and a win by Tyler Lee over Garland, Name, and Force. Garland, Name, and Force was up 21-0 in the first half of that game. Tyler Lee
decently early in the fourth, too, up by 11.
Tyler Lee, as they have been apt in the last couple of years, roared back, has a dramatic win, and they're like, yay, we did it.
And then, of course,
Garland, you know, is going to have a tough time against Rockwall. Rockwall's been playing lights out after losing three straight. They're 7-3 now, going in the playoffs humming. So it came up to this game. But, you know, Sachse, you know, their quarterback may or may not have been banged up. I think he played a little bit, you know, Jalen Maiden. But in losing that game, they end up getting Belton as opposed to Colleen Shoemaker, which it's, you know, those two teams are
like
about
a
one the
point game between them.
One point game, yeah. Shoemaker beat them by one. So obviously that's it's very similar in competition. And then that next round game, you either can play Skyline or you can play perhaps North Mesquite. I think it's North Mesquite and
MacArthur?
Irving MacArthur, the winner of that. So. Yeah, you stay away from Skyline.
Right.
That's a team that's a team you don't want to face in the second round of the playoffs. It creates situations like that, which I think are weird. Okay, well, let's run through some scores of note. I was on Thursday night, one of the rare games that actually got played on Thursday,
right,
was Hebron and McKinney Boyd at Ron Post Stadium. Hebron had to win and then had to have some other things happen, or they had to win by a certain point threshold.
10, right?
The 10-point cutoff. Or if it was 9, it would have gone to a weird coin flip. And
I was oddly rooting for that at one point.
I was too.
You monster.
But they also, they would have gotten in the playoffs. They just didn't know what was going to happen,
right,
on Friday night. They needed Plano to beat Louisville, which did happen. Plano ended up winning that game 37-17. So that was not really in question. But Hebron did hit their 10-point, their 10-point line,
and
get in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, and which is a really impressive kind of turnaround. They had struggled early in the
season.
And, it's a very difficult district to cobble together a playoff berth, but they got the fourth spot out of that district. Another game that had playoff implications was Colleyville Heritage and Richland. And Richland had played well, throughout the season. They played better than, what a lot of people expected, but not on Friday night. Heritage 61
point differential.
They win and they are in
aggregate.
Matt,
they had to win by 60, right? And they won by 61.
Yeah, they went for two.
Yeah,
and got it 61. another game
no
with
mercy.
Big implications. The Colony, a team that had been disappointing. Mm-hmm. We'd pegged them as a top 10 team at the start of the season.
Oh,
Rudy Rangel.
Centennial. Centennial's going to finish like 20th in our rankings.
Yeah,
like they're going to be ranked.
They're
going to
be one of the teams that are ranked. I think we have two teams in our 5A rankings that did not make the playoffs that were still ranked in the final season.
Right,
shows how much we know. No, I'm just kidding. They're very good teams.
Well, yeah,
well,
they
are a top 20 team. They're just not in the playoffs because they've got too many good teams in their district.
Yeah, I mean, that district is loaded. You've got Lone Star, Wakeland, and Frisco making the playoffs. This determined the final playoff spot, 24-14. The Colony gets in. Khalil Banks with a big night. Anthony Begis with not such a big night, and that was the difference in that game. A result that really was, a Thursday night game between Birdville and Carter Riverside determined that district. Birdville ends up getting in the playoffs, and they end up clinching a playoff berth there. On Saturday, a couple of things happened. One, I need to talk a little bit about cross country for a second. Carter Blunt.
Right.
He wins a third straight title and running in the mud. That dude is take a football aside. He is the Kyler Murray Marcus Smart of cross country.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And did you see the photo of him? I mean, he's got like mud all over him.
Yeah, it looked like just a miserable slog. He didn't have the fastest time at state. There were a couple of 6A runners that ran faster than him, but he beat his 5A opponents by like 13 seconds.
Right.
So he just ran past the field.
And you want to be careful when you're running in mud.
Well, no doubt. He will have a shot to be the most decorated cross-country runner of all time in the state of Texas. No one has ever won three straight cross-country titles and then won the mile and 2 mile race at state. He has done it 2 years in a row. He adds his cross-country title and he's going for it. And I think he committed to...
He's still
Arkansas,
got three
UCLA, schools. And Syracuse.
Yeah, Arkansas.
Nothing like running in Syracuse. Woo!
This is the peak of my knowledge about cross country right there, too.
Yeah, but
I'm not very good at that.
Arkansas, always good, distance and sprints there. SBC championships were on Saturday. You had Fort Worth All Saints force overtime and end up beating Episcopal School of Dallas, ESD Falls. They were 9-2 on the season.
All Saints.
Yeah, good win for All Saints. They had won 12, 13, and 15 SBC small school titles. So they won 3 in 4 years.
Them's recruiting territory.
They had lots of recruits. Yeah, they did. Luke Anthony, their quarterback, he was 30-42 for 332 yards, and he throws the touchdown pass in overtime to Zadok Scott. Would have been all name team.
Zoltan.
If Avi would have made our all name team.
Wow, Corbett, we got to bring this up every week, don't we?
We are going to bring it up. Let's close talking about DeSoto.
Oh,
DeSoto could have.
Denton Ryan.
Okay, we could talk about Denton Ryan. Yeah, let's talk about Denton Ryan.
I just want to give props where they're due. That was a really impressive win against a good Geyer team. And they finish as one of three undefeated.
Four teams.
Four, well, in 6A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those teams mean what?
Euless Trinity Allen, and then Denton Ryan, and then in 5A you have Mansfield Lake Ridge, mm-hmm. and then in 4A we have Salina and Kennedale.
Yep,
not bad.
Then in private schools, Bishop Dunn.
Bishop Dunn is 10-0.
I'm not sure.
Parrish lost.
Parrish did lose. So I think
First
that's it. First Baptist lost to TC
Fort
Cedar
Worth
Hill.
Krish? No, they have
no. They're 9-1. They're 9-1.
Yeah, so I guess only Dunn.
Yeah, but as far as the schools we cover,
yeah. Sorry, that's all I'm programmed to.
No, that's good. That game really had
no implications.
No implications, thanks to what happened the week before with Fossil Ridge getting in, but certainly
a big thing in Denton,
without a doubt. And I am a little confused as to where I slate Ryan. We'll talk about that here in part two.
Okay,
when we talk about the playoffs, but I don't know exactly where I peg them to be making a run too. But it'll be really interesting to see how they turn out because I actually would think that Geyer might have a better chance of making a longer run because they've got the more dynamic player. And when you have dynamic players like Sean Robinson, that you can turn it on in the playoffs.
All I know about Ryan is they have really good defense, which has yet to allow more than 28 points this year, which was sort of Geyer.
Good young quarterback.
Hey,
nice young quarterback. Spencer Sanders, has played really well. Okay, well, DeSoto and Duncanville. DeSoto had to lose, and South Grand Prairie had to beat Cedar Hill in order for them to lose their top spot. That wasn't going to happen. And Cedar Hill ends up winning. It was a close-fought game against South Grand Prairie, but they end up winning that game. So it really makes the DeSoto-Duncanville game meaningless. DeSoto wins that game 16-14. It's not necessarily
it's kind of what they did against Midlothian.
Yeah, they've not really turned on the Jets as we certainly expected them to do at the start of the year. The interesting thing about that, though, is D. Anderson, the twice ruled ineligible by the state executive committee, played a couple of plays there right before halftime. And I talked to both his attorney and, called UIL staff, and I've tried to figure out, talk to the AD there at DeSoto. Looks like the legal team that is behind Anderson feels as though they've got a leg to stand on with a temporary restraining order that they filed against the UIL. You can only extend TROs once by state law, by the civil rules, the Texas rules of civil procedure. The UIL asked for that delay. Received it, and then they tried to ask for it again once there was another hearing. The UIL tried to get it dismissed early, a procedural matter, and failed, but it allowed the legal team for D. Anderson to bring more documents to the table, bring beef up what their original complaint was. That's kind of the tit for tat as far as legal goes. So what happened at that time was the UIL was like, hey, all this new stuff's come to light. We need some extra time to deal with it. Well, the court hearing was going to happen last Monday. The judge said, I can't, by law, I cannot extend this TRO, but you guys can come to an agreement. Whatever that agreement is, if you guys can come to an agreement to extend that to some time and delay that, I'm fine with that. So the UIL and the lawyers for D. Anderson do that. They take to interpret that it negates the rule in the UIL's bylaws that says if there is a standing court order or a temporary restraining order, then you have to forfeit these games. Well, they see it as we have an agreement. We don't have a court order. So per this agreement, we should be able to play these games without risk of forfeiture. They've talked to DeSoto athletic director and their legal team, and it looks like DeSoto is going to go forward playing D. Anderson here in the next couple of weeks. They're going to start working D. Anderson in. I did not get a comment from Todd Peterman, who referred me to Larry Davis, the athletic director of DeSoto ISD, but first round matchup, I can guarantee you that you're going to see DeAnderson on the field. Now, how much he plays, I don't know. You know, he's been practicing with the team. He's set to early enroll at LSU here at the break, at the Christmas break. But, man, if DeSoto needs a shot in the arm, that could certainly give it to him. But you want to talk about some people who would be unhappy. That potentially could be the Coppell parents after a first-round game against DeSoto in which DeAnderson plays, or potentially a second-round matchup against Allen.
Right.
Those are some heavy hitters.
It's hard to project all this, but, I mean, if DeSoto beats Coppell in the first round, there will be
Justin Wallace. Yeah,
there we go. DeAnderson.
Cold medicine, man.
Yeah, it's, right. If he's a big part of it, or even just a part, there's going to be a huge blowback on that. And what would be real interesting, I'm projecting, I don't think DeSoto beats Allen with him and another player.
The way that DeSoto's playing, I don't know if they beat Coppell.
Right, exactly. But would it not be interesting how many times Texas becomes like the epicenter of football in the country?
Right.
It would be if DeSoto beats Allen with what people are saying is an ineligible player, ends this long winning streak of a team that's won three straight state championships. That would go so national. It would blow up so huge.
Yeah, it would. And I think you might even see TROs against TROs here right. this week as we move forward. Well, that's it for part one. Part two, we're going to talk about 6A and 5A playoffs. Part two.
Yay.
Yeah, we're here. We're just going to go through the bracket just game by game as far as what we think. And at the end of each region, I'm going to ask you guys for who you like out of that region. And we're going to skip all the El Paso schools because no
one cares. I was going to say, let's just do region four because the pick 'em for that would be based on mascots.
Yeah, Weslaco. Progreso, the red ants.
The soup?
Progreso, they're
insurance.
The red ants.
I
don't even get a hoe. Red ants.
Red ants. I like it.
There are cool. The Mad Ants, which I think is an NBA development team. Well, because we brought up the Fort Wayne Tin Caps the other week, I thought you should know about the Mad Ants.
I always thought the Red Ants were pretty good. The Fighting Jerseys of Falfurrias, also a very good thing. That's where they make the sweet cream butter. That you see in the stores.
That kind of jersey. Yeah. I thought it was like a snapping jersey.
No, it's a cow. It's a cow. it is a jersey cow, spotted white.
The
and
fighting
black cow.
Jerseys just makes me think of guys with slicked back hair and heavy accents coming at me with bats.
And well,
go Devils.
If you are confused by that, then how about the Robstown Cotton Pickers?
I'm not even touching that one.
Which is a real mascot.
Next, no.
Do we even want to go there?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah, Robstown was full of people who were picking cotton, but it's not like slaves that were picking cotton. It was just like agricultural farm workers. And so they've decided that they're the cotton pickers. It's almost exclusively Latino, although that is where Gina Upshaw is from. They have had a small black population there, but it's been exclusively Latino for hundreds of years. It's in South Texas. It is very interesting to see the Robstown Cotton Pickers van or bus with their insignia roll up into Austin, which I've seen at state baseball. They're a very good baseball program and have made the state tournament. So hot racial sports opinions there.
In other news, Shiner's football team should be named the Beers because they have the seal of the beer on their helmets. Right? In Shiner.
Okay. I don't know. I've never actually seen Shiner.
True story.
Seems like an awkward positioning with a high school squad.
Right. I'm thinking to myself, like, they're not even legally able.
Well, I was thinking more like basketball.
Their helmet should actually have beer spots, like a beer hat.
Cup holders.
Straws?
With the straws in their mouth.
But only for the players that are over 21, of course.
Well, that's probably all the players at Shiner.
It's a small school.
It is. Hardy people. Okay. 6-8, Division 1.
I love our tangents.
Odessa Permian lose. Oh, no. They lose to
San Angelo Central.
But they're still the top seed in the Division I bracket. Arlington Bowie on a roll, playing better. DeAndre Cook now is the school's leading rusher in school history. He's got like 3,800
yards. Year of the running back.
I do think
DFW.
Bowie has a chance.
I think Bowie's got a little bit of a shot. They'll play the whoever wins that will play the winner of El Paso El Dorado and Amarillo Tascosa. And the other side of that top part of the bracket.
Atascocita?
Nope.
Oh.
That is Humble Atascocita.
Oh, okay.
That's in Region 3.
Okay.
You got Denton Ryan and Plano East.
I think that's a good game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Denton Ryan, congratulations on a great season. Here's a very difficult opponent that has talented players on offense and defense. I think that that's a potential. I would probably going to pick East in that game. I would like to say that I apologize for my wife and children's that I will not get to see them this week.
Your children's, I like that.
Because
youngins,
I've got to pick Matt Stepp and Matt Diggs from the old coach have somehow finagled me into picking the by district round. It's 320 games
of Pick'em. How did you get finagled into that?
Well, I did win the regular season DFW
pick'em
between those guys. Just pride. Because I'm doing so poorly. We're getting beat by TV guys in our newspaper pick'em.
God, I stopped looking at that.
No way,
like,
I'm in first place.
Oh, you're in first place? Hey, good job,
Matt
man.
Is holding it
beat those TV guys. Yeah, hold it up for us, please.
No, we need their TV
just
partners.
Jinxed it. This week
we need
be
TV
bad.
Partners, but we
I've
don't
been
need
to
them
to
win.
Facilities. They're very nice.
I'm sure they're very nice, but we don't need them to win our pick'em. Eulish Trinity
helping.
And South Grand Prairie.
Very good game last year.
Very great game last year. Overtime win for Trinity last year. And what was a surprise to a lot of people. And if Greg Eisworth, their quarterback, is healthy, South Grand Prairie is more than capable of...
That's a really tough first round.
Yeah.
I like Trinity a lot because I think the specialty for SGP's defense is their secondary, which doesn't do you much good against...
Well, I've seen Jeffrey Okuda come down in the box and lay some hits down. So it'll be good. It'll be a good game.
You know who's laying hits yesterday that I, in general, don't see? Brandon Carr yesterday was a whole.
Are you talking
partner.
About the Cowboys?
I am, but
no one cares about the Cowboys.
Boo.
They're 2-6.
Don't get excited about that. Just saying, he was laying wood yesterday.
NFL's dumb.
All right, in the other side, the bottom part of the Region 1 bracket, Midland. And
oh, you're that doctor from Midland, aren't you? Sorry, good.
Yeah.
Arlington Martin. I like can write Arlington Martin all the way to the third round in my bracket because the winner of that plays El Paso Montwood, Amarillo winner. Martin has played better, and they've been resting guys. Nick Smith hasn't been running the ball. I don't know what his status is. We will see here in the coming weeks. Allen, hey, congratulations, Byron Nelson. You get to go play at Allen Eagle Stadium. That's their first 6A playoff berth.
You get to play at a very nice stadium.
They do get to play in a very nice stadium. And then you have Coppell.
At least there's Fiji water while we're losing.
Right.
Yeah, and Chick-fil-A in the press box.
And sushi.
Coppell and DeSoto at the bottom part of the Region 1 bracket. Thoughts on this, guys?
I think this is just based on the way DeSoto has seemed to be playing. I mean, I think Coppell might win that game.
Controversy bowl, though, man. You talk about, like, Coppell just a few weeks ago, they had all that little dust up about
parents
being sad that
right.
you know kids were getting skipped over. And now you have DeSoto, you know, playing a twice ruled ineligible player. Man, what great excitement in the first round of the playoffs.
They've played some really good playoff games in the past, too. Some really good Coppell teams that lost to a little bit better DeSoto teams.
Yep. Thoughts on this region? Is it Allen?
Well, when I'm looking at it, the only team that I feel really is dangerous to Allen is Trinity.
That's how I feel.
I'm going to say Trinity wins this.
Yeah.
Take it, Allen fans. Trinity and Allen in the regional final. I'm going to pick Trinity in that game.
I'm going to pick Allen, but Allen had some good fortune to beat Trinity last year.
Allen has really been pretty incredible with their two-headed quarterbacks. Mitchell Jahnke and Seth Green have both played well.
Each of them don't have two heads, to be clear.
Right, there was a separation surgery at the start of the year, and they've both done well.
No, they have them like fake sewn up together, like you have it.
That'd be great if one was a lefty and one was a righty. Just fling the ball together.
Just real quick, the interesting thing about that is that you know we've been talking all year about the split between them. It's actually been fairly even in terms of production. If you look at total yards. We're talking a difference of like 200, I think, like 200 or 300 yards with Seth Green having the advantage there. But it's been fairly down the middle.
The one thing that between the two quarterbacks, Jahnke has fewer interceptions, and which that's kind of moved him back.
Also
the
less pass attempts, but yeah. Right. There was that game where Seth Green started with three interceptions.
Who's going to win that region, Rhiannon?
Oh, gosh. Let's go Trinity.
She's going to go Trinity.
I'm going to Trinity.
Who are you going to win that region?
Allen,
okay. It's a 50-50 split. I like it.
I like the bad guys.
Okay, let's go. Allen's not bad. They're very good people.
But they're the
I think Martin has the easiest path to get to that regional semifinal, but then having to face Allen is just a tough. You go from 0 to 60.
That was another one that Allen had to pull out late last year.
Also, it's like picking Kentucky. you know, like Kentucky's like they're the guys that win all the time, and so that's why I said.
Are we talking college basketball now?
I used it as a comparison.
Avi talks all about college basketball.
Hey, college basketball is starting up.
I'm about to start talking about college basketball because Maryland's number three right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Mark Turgeon will screw that up. He'll call timeouts at incorrect times. Yeah, he's terrible.
Well, as soon as the NCAA
But he's a very nice man. Very nice guy, but not necessarily a good X's and O's guy. Let's go Region 2, Skyline and Lake Highlands. First round matchup. They play the winner of Rowlett and Belton. Rowlett and Skyline could be a pretty interesting
game. Definitely.
I don't know if Lake Highlands has actually been able to put up points. I don't know if they can stop a team like Skyline and De Leon Ward. We will skip the Austin area teams, but there is a good Klein Collins team that's looming there in the bottom part of that top side of the bracket. The bottom part of the bracket, Irvin MacArthur and North Mesquite should be a really interesting game. One of probably the better first round matchups.
Yeah.
Because both of them have real talented offenses. Mm-hmm. You've got Cade Harden and Artis Henderson there for MacArthur, and you've got Jaquez Gooch, Drayshawn Miniweather, a really talented team for North Mesquite. Saxe and Killeen Shoemaker on the bottom part of that bracket, and then the bottom part, the absolute tippy-top bottom part.
I think it's the bitty bottom.
Yeah.
Bitty bottom.
Now we hear.
Is the Woodlands. And it'd be interesting to see the Woodlands and Austin Westlake in round two. The winner of that will be a pretty salty challenger for either MacArthur, Saxe, North Mesquite, or Shoemaker. That is it. Who do you like in that region?
Of our teams, I'd say.
Who do you like in that region?
I'm going to go for an Austin area team.
So you probably Austin Westlake.
Yeah. Probably.
Westlake, who beat South Lake Carroll
in
the first game of the season.
I want to see it because I need to review.
Avi is actually doing brackets, but hasn't actually managed to look at brackets.
What is this I'm looking at?
God. I do like Skyline a whole lot. I think if they're clicking at the right time, I really do like Skyline.
I like Skyline too, but I think that that semifinal matchup against Klein Collins will be a toughie. Klein Collins, I think they beat the Woodlands earlier in the season, I don't know who their lone loss is to, but it's to a good Houston area team. Rhiannon, who are you thinking?
I'm a little bit like
Pick Avi. America. It never fails.
I'm a little bit with Avi on this one. I like their running game. That's kind of why I'm picking Trinity's, because I like their running game. No one has been able to stop them. But the same thing with Skyline is De Leon Ward.
Who's famous last words. I'm going with Avi on this one.
I'm going with Avi on that one.
Never ends well.
It'll be interesting. I think that there are some clear favorites in here. Westlake, the Woodlands, Skyline, Klein Collins. I think all of those teams are worthy to be taking the crown.
Love you, Austin teams. You have great tacos.
I don't necessarily see those teams as favorites to get past whoever is the Region 1 winner.
Right.
No.
Because
that thing's a beast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about 6A Division 2. Top part of that bracket, you've got El Paso Americas versus Lubbock Monterey. Then you go San Angelo Central and Arlington. That's a tough matchup for the Colts.
Yeah, Central just beat Permian.
Yeah, and they get to host that game in the barren wasteland that is San Angelo. Although supposedly, according to Adam Bowen,
there's a downtown
really nice spot.
Corbin's making friends right and left.
It's like it's the greatest town in West Texas.
Skylar Dixon.
Yeah. Pigs. Lipstick.
I didn't even know where it was, really.
It's in the middle of West Texas. It's actually closer to Austin than. I would say West Texas is way out there, like Marfa. And Fort Stockton.
My knowledge of West Texas. Texas is just I know where Odessa and Midland are. That's about it.
Cool. Bottom part of the top side of the bracket, Denton, Guyer, and Hebron.
I think that's a good game.
Yeah.
Well, Hebron.
I mean, I pick Guyer, but I think Hebron, the last four games, they've been a very different team than they were early in the year.
It's been impressive to see what they've done in their wins. They've only allowed 7 points in their four wins. After halftime. So they've made great halftime adjustments. Coach Brazel, of course, has won a state title there at Hebron. He's a legit superstar coach, if there is superstar coaching in the area. He's certainly one of the better ones. It'd be a very difficult task against Guyer, who will be well coached as well. John Walsh does a great job, and they've got something to prove. They didn't necessarily finish the season very strong.
They had a couple of – I know that their quarterback was sick for at least 1 week. But they
still
had some real head-scratching finishes, at least score-wise, that I looked at.
I mean, they didn't stretch out in that – stretch their legs in that district like I thought they would. Bottom part of the top side of the bracket is South Lake, Carroll, and Cedar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Massive tilt going to be at Friday night at Dragon Stadium.
At Dragon Stadium, yep.
People already gnashing their teeth about it.
I think they're lined up.
I read the Star Telegram. I had talked to Joey McGuire, the Cedar Hill coach, and asked him what he thought. And predictably, he said, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. It is a bad break for Cedar Hill. In any other year, I wrote there on Sunday, in any other year, they probably wouldn't be in this situation. Next year, I can't see South Lake Carroll being placed in a district. Like the fact that they're in a district with Coppell and Euless Trinity is still befuddling to me. They make more sense over where the Keller schools and Denton Geyer will be there.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like a more logical choice for them to be in what I guess would be 5 or 6A or district. 5A or 5 or 6 5A, no, 6A, Lord of mercy. But Cedar Hill, who knows where they go. Sometimes they've been in region 2, sometimes they've been in region 1, but they'll be in the 7A. I can't see this being a potential first round matchup. And of course, if this happened last year, they would have played at a neutral site and would have been one of the best exciting neutral site games. So tough break there. Cedar Hill or South Lake Carroll? Matt Wixon.
I'm going to take Cedar Hill.
Avi Zalen.
Cedar Hill.
Rand Walker.
South Lake Carroll.
I do not know who I'm choosing in that game.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you can't pull it out there, make everybody else choose, and then come back to you.
I just did.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh.
Can I say in overtime?
Yeah, sure.
In overtime.
You know, there's just something about Cedar Hill that they just haven't played as robustly as would want them to.
That's true.
I watched them against Mansfield.
Aren't they getting Jalen Jackson back?
That's supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. But, the one thing that they've been able to do, and Matt talked about this a little bit last week, they've been able to run the ball against everybody except for there against Mansfield. Mansfield's done a good job of holding him in check. If Carroll can do that, you put a lot of pressure on Avery Davis to make plays and not make mistakes.
What's been the closest thing to Carroll that Cedar Hill has played this year, you think, if any of their opponents have come close?
How do you mean exactly?
As terms
style?
Of like a, yeah.
Well, Mansfield likes to run the ball hard, and Carroll does. I mean, that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, Carroll's got you a little Jordan Humphrey, and
right.
You've got a good quarterback.
It's a good balance there, though.
Yeah, there's good balance.
Mason Holmes is really.
The one thing that I think that Mansfield has a leg up on Carroll is just defensive strength and speed. Their defense is a little bit more salty than
that was a 46-43
final. That's one thing that sticks out to me, and I think it's going to be a great game, and I could totally see why people would pick Carroll. First of all, it's a tough place to play.
Yep.
But when I watched Carroll play Trinity, and Carroll looked good, but they were very vulnerable to big plays. And now that's Jerron for Trinity. He's a fantastic player and can bust out against anybody.
Yeah, but Avery Davis can too.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to have to be very careful about cutting down those runs.
When I look at that, it's like, for instance, like Jerron, and then I look at some of the other runs that they had, like John, they were cuts where they had them squared off, but they didn't contain on the backside,
right.
And then they break off, I think it was like 59-yard and 21-yard, and you're sitting here like, wow, you had them, and they couldn't finish it. But if it comes down to a close game and quick points, South Lake Carroll has Zach Farr. I watched that game. 3 touchdowns by that guy. Literally big gainers.
Oklahoma State offer.
Oklahoma State offer as well.
I just can't figure out who I want to pick. I'll pick Carroll right now on this podcast because they're the home team. I'll give them the 3-point home bump. Whatever it is, it's going to blow up people's brackets. If you have to fill out a bracket and you're doing this for
because
fun.
Because both those teams can go deep in a bracket.
Both those teams can win the state title conceivably. And the loser, it's a coin flip game. The loser of that, if you have that, just going to wreck your bracket. Bottom part of the Region 1 bracket, El Paso Montwood and Wolforth Friendship in the top game.
Wolforth!
You have Abilene and Arlington Lamar. A good test for Lamar. A tough opponent in Abilene, a team that traditionally strong and pretty salty. They've got a nice little running back, and I saw that running back play South Lake Carroll last year. He was injured, tore his ACL and was out for the playoffs last year. Think Lamar will be able to make a run?
I haven't been overly impressed by them during the year, but they do have, if you're talking about like a dynamic player, they got a great quarterback who maybe can take it up to another level in the playoffs.
And a great receiver, too, in Kofi Boateng.
Yeah, they do.
Great name.
Bottom part of the bitty bottom of that bracket, whatever we're calling, bitty, bitty, boom, boom of the bracket, Keller, Fossil Ridge, and Flower Mound Marcus.
Ooh.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Marcus there.
I would pick Marcus there. Colleyville Heritage and Mansfield. That second round matchup between Mansfield and Flower Mound Marcus would be a rematch. Mm-hmm. That's one of Mansfield's early season losses. Remember, they started the season 1-2 with losses to Summit and to Marcus, and a very close game against Waco Midway. Marcus is going to be tested. That said, Mansfield did make a change at quarterback, and their offense has been far more dynamic with the new guy in charge. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that region?
Friendship. They should all be friends.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to pick a winner in that, but I'll give you – I think it's
what?
It's those four. Oh, please, mister.
To whoever
yeah,
wins
– Yeah, you don't get
to it's going to be Cedar Hill, Carroll, Marcus, or Mansfield.
Okay. I'm going to say the winner of the Cedar Hill-Carroll game is the winner of that region.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's South Lake Carroll, since I picked them as the home favorite. I'll say that they're the winner of that region over a very determined finalist – because I don't
whoever
know who
that
that's going to
be. Very
well, I don't really know who Marcus and Mansfield. I don't know who I'll pick. I was really impressed with Mansfield. Haven't seen Marcus play. I saw them scrimmage, but not play. So I don't know.
Corbett, I have a question. How many rounds in would a Cedar Hill Mansfield rematch occur if it were to?
And only it will occur in the
regional final.
Right? Yep. Okay, on the opposite sides of the bracket. Ooh. So Mansfield could end up having to play Marcus in a rematch in round two. And then potentially face Arlington Mar in round three, and then end up having to face, and let's not sleep on Geyer. Geyer would be a very difficult regional semifinalist for either Carroll or Cedar Hill. That is the Region 1 bracket. Region 2, Jesuit.
Jesuit.
Where do we see Jesuit and Horn?
I see Jesuit as a favorite.
Winning. I see them as a favorite, but I see Horn as a team that's very dangerous, sitting in the weeds.
I like Jesuit's defense a lot. I like them against Robeson. I mean, he's a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
I think that defense is good, but been really helped by that district. The district that they play in, not necessarily the district that Mesquite Horn's playing in. Mesquite Horn's playing in there with some teams that can score a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm maybe leaning Horn with the upset there, but Jesuit certainly has had a great season. There's no doubt about that. Rockwall and Copper's Cove. Copper's Cove, traditional powerhouse, the Dawgs.
3-7 this year?
Yep. But that's what you get in the first round of the playoffs. Right. But the Dawgs, WGS, Dawgs.
Oh, God.
Dawgs.
It's like
Dawgs.
It's like what Sam Houston State does. They spell Bearcats with a K.
Well, sure they do.
And every time I type that out, I just want to bludgeon myself over the head with my laptop.
Bottom part of that bracket, of course, we're skipping over, like the Woodlands College Parks and Spring and Pflugerville Hendrickson, who I always pick to make a run, and they get beat in the first round of the playoffs. Irving Nimitz and Highland Park. Highland Park get a scare here?
No.
Okay. Garland and Waco.
I don't think so.
Waco
right. Podcast
Midway.
Is running long. Keep going. No, I was just.
Nimitz and. Okay, so Nimitz, Highland Park, you guys have Highland Park as the favorite. Garland and Waco Midway. I think Midway.
Yeah,
Midway.
But Garland has certainly been able to show some explosive firepower. It would be really interesting to see a rematch of last year's playoffs, Midway and Highland Park once again. They played last year in the second round, I believe, right?
Yes. I can't remember. But the Garland-Midway thing, I think also the weather depends. I don't know for sure what it's going to be like Friday night. If it's rainy, in other years, that would be good for Garland. Not so much this year.
Well, Midway also likes to sling the ball a little bit. Yeah. Bottom part of that bracket, teams we will not talk about. But, man, you talk about a second-round matchup that has got some firepower. Lake Travis versus Spring Westfield.
Ooh! I used to cover Spring Westfield's quarterback. He's Dylan Sterling Cole.
Yeah.
He real good. He's Arizona State commit, real good.
Yep. And Westfield's traditionally been pretty good, but they're kind of sucking hind teat this year because they're the runner-up.
What was that?
Sucking hind teat. It's a farming term.
Okay, over my head.
Don't forget his mother had a pet raccoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Raccoons scare me.
You've got Westfield has been a challenger of Skyline in the Division II playoffs, but they're the runner-up in that district behind Spring. In 15-6A. Thoughts on this? Who do you like? Matt Wixon.
That's going to be a tough one. I think it's probably going to be one of the spring schools until I see. I mean, I really like Rockwall.
Okay.
And I love working with Coach Webb because he's great.
He's the best coach.
But until they can be more consistent on defense, I have questions when they get a few rounds in.
The Rockwall Jesuit game rematch of?
Oh, I would take Rockwall in that game.
Okay. Avi, thoughts on this region? He doesn't have thoughts. Dylan Sterling Cole, he likes him a lot, so I'll say Spring
He used to play at West Orange Stark. His dad played for the Broncos.
Yeah.
That's all I
Brandon,
got.
Brandon, you have thoughts on this region? Do you think Jesuit can make a deep run?
If they're are we considering if Rockwall and them play against each other?
Yeah.
I hate this reason, but they don't have a lot of playoff experience as a team. It's a pretty young, inexperienced
team. They can stack up points, and they can stop teams from scoring. I guess I just haven't seen them play myself, so I'm kind of hesitant.
We think Highland Park's playoff run goes two rounds?
Yeah. I haven't looked at what they'll hit.
They did Waco Midway.
Oh, Midway, yeah.
Midway or Garland winner.
I think
it would
be difficult
two.
To beat Midway.
I'm going to go Lake Travis as the team to beat in that
way
region.
Out of the box. What have they ever done?
Yeah. Well, Lake Travis and Westfield will be, I think the winner of that will, you know, lean on the rest of the bracket. Okay. 5A. We're running a little late, but we'll go through this as quickly as we can. 5A Region 1. What you need to know is Aledo's in it. Ta-da! Aledo is the final. Okay, let's give other people some nice runs. Saginaw Boswell's had a great season. They get Birdville in the first round of the playoffs. That winner will play Fort Worth Arlington Heights and Burleson Centennial. Centennial, the hard-luck loser from Aledo making the playoffs because they would have been the top seed. Aledo gets pushed in their bracket. They get runner-up seed. Well, they do play Arlington Heights. I think that's a team that they can beat. Bottom part of that, you got Randy Jackson, 8-2 at Grapevine. Playing
you bring his name up every time with the team.
Yeah, because Randy Jackson, he's a friend of the podcast.
Well, and he's had some history around here. He's taken some teams to some deep runs.
Yeah.
But it's like that team specifically.
It's not
Randy Allen and Highland Park. It's
no, Randy Allen and Highland Park. Randy Allen and Highland Park, they go together too.
I know, but I'm just saying when you mention it.
Well, okay, Alan Bowman and Grapevine. Bowman, right. Of course, his dad was tight end at Penn State and I think got a cup of coffee in the NFL. Maybe I might be wrong about that.
Could've
been
but
the quarterback, he's good size, and he will be one of the better recruited quarterbacks in the area for next year. They face an 8-2 Denton team that's really turned things around. Xavier Scott, of course, one of the area's best running backs. Though winner has to play Aledo. Aledo gets Trimble Tech, which I think is we can assume is a win. Let's just hopefully not one of those wins that calls out the bullying.
Ends up
police.
On CNN.
Like when Houston Scarborough has to play their first game.
Well, Trimble Tech's better than Scarborough.
I know, but
they're
I'm
just playing Aledo. It's like you're playing, you know, the juggernaut of 5A. Bottom. Well, actually, Region 2, full of area teams. I like this Wiley-Wakeland game in the top part of that bracket. That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Carrollton-Creekview and Rockwall Heath, that's the next game down in the bracket. Mm. You've got to think that the Wiley and Wakeland winner will be the favorite in the next round as well. Summit and Kimball. I don't really have a good judge of where Kimball is. I did see Kimball once this year against Sauk. And it was not the best. Longview and Lufkin. This will be a 6A matchup next year because both those teams are moving up. But, man, that is a talented bunch right there. Summit and the winner of Longview and Lufkin. Ouch.
Sheesh.
And no joke there.
Right.
How about the Colony? Can they stop Wiley East?
No.
Nah, brah.
No.
Okay.
Not even Wiley East. Can they stop Eno Benjamin?
I'll take Wiley East in that, too. But, man, the Khalil Banks, Eno Benjamin show. That'll be very interesting. Braden Shoemake, of course, has
Colony's been playing games like that all.
And the Colony
district.
Went three rounds last year.
They did.
With a similar team in Khalil Banks.
Now, Mesquite Poteet, with their loss to Terrell, that was a game, district championship on the line. It really didn't matter because they're still the top seed there in the Region 1 brackets. They get Carrollton Newman Smith, a game I think that they're certainly going to be the favorites. And I don't know if they'll be able to test Wiley East, but it'll probably be a Wiley East Colony winner, but it'll be interesting. Samuel and Lake Ridge, I think Lake Ridge is the clear favorite there. But then they have to play Tyler John Tyler or Texas High out of Texarkana. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very difficult game.
I wonder if there's an Arkansas High.
Yeah, I'm sure there's Texarkana, Arkansas High.
There's an Arkansas with an X.
Okay, so who do we like as the favorite in that region? Is Lake Ridge going to be the favorite, even though that their playoff pass will probably have to make them play Tyler John Tyler, Wiley East, and then maybe a rematch against Summit in three consecutive rounds?
It's a brutal stretch, but I'm going to still have to go with them. They've been really impressive.
Yeah, I've been very impressive this year. Okay, Division II playoffs. We'll go quickly in Region 1. You got Wichita Falls Rider and Fort Worth Dunbar. Everman, Matt Stepp's haunting grounds. They play Odie Wyatt. The other Fort Worth area-related games, Lake Dallas and Fort Worth Brewer, and Burleson and South Hills. South Hills, of course, lost their quarterback but have had a good season. Lake Dallas, you look at the other side of that bracket, you got Lubbock Cooper, who's 8-1, and then Dumas and a couple of El Paso schools. Man, Lake Dallas could be a regional.
I think they got a real chance.
I think they've got a really good chance to be a regional finalist and then face whomever on the top part of that bracket. But they could actually make the top part of that bracket's much softer than the bottom part. I think that if they get to the semifinals, they're going to be get to the finals, they're going to be the Region 1 rep, which would be phenomenal for a team that, it really shows you if Alito's away from you,
you can do things.
You can do things, right.
You can do it.
You can do it. Region 2, run through this. Prosper and Lone Star, good first-round matchup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I think people are sleeping on Prosper a little bit. 4 losses.
We're sleeping on everyone, according to everyone.
Well, we know we do that. Those 4 losses at the beginning against some pretty good teams in Lone Star, relatively inexperienced in this playoff run. Brian Adams and Forney in the second round. I think that the winner of Lone Star Prosper will probably be the favorite in that. You've got Sauk and Timberview. Good first-round matchup.
Good first match.
Yeah. Timberview, of course. A disappointing 5-5 season, but certainly have some athletes that they can match up with Sauk.
DeSoto syndrome.
Oof. Okay. Marshall and Lindale, the bottom part of the top part of the bracket. Now, Frisco and Lovejoy, an interesting contrast in styles.
Bowman first round.
That's first round.
Golly, that's
two pretty good districts. They just get locked in the first round.
They get locked together. Woodrow Wilson and Terrell are the game. That the winner would face.
Terrell.
Terrell looks good. Lancaster and Seagaville. This is how it shows you where moving out of one bracket into the other really helps.
Weibo.
And Ennis and Hallsville. Ennis could be, you could find Ennis Lancaster in round 2. You think this week's matchup.
Round 2 is
good.
Always the best, I think.
Well, there you go.
There might be as much parity in that region as anyone we've talked about.
I think if you look at, to me, the Division 1 playoffs there in Region 2 and in 5A are just absolutely brutal. You look at the teams, like if you say Wakeland, Wiley, Heath, Summit, Longview, Lufkin, The Colony, Wiley East, Poteet, Lake Ridge, Tyler.
It's like a who's who.
Texas. Yep. Mm-hmm. Texarkana High.
Both fortunate and unfortunate. For us.
Probably the most loaded region outside of 6A Division 1.
Region 1. Yep.
Okay, well, that's it for part 2. Part 3 will be abbreviated because we're running long and we need to get to a meeting. But
we're
coming back with
text.
Part 3. Part 3. Real quick, we want to give a shout out to our smaller schools. We'll run through this quickly as we can. Division 1 and 4A. I think this is also, we talked about how loaded those other divisions are. This is as good as you'll find. You've got Kennedale, Princeton, Argyle, Sanger, Kaufman. That's a pretty good region.
It is.
That's real good.
That's some of
Texarkana, Liberty, ILO. Kennedale and Dallas Carter are in the first round of the playoffs. They'll play the winner of Athens and Princeton. Argyle and Lake Worth, I think Argyle is the clear favorite there. Pittsburgh and Crandall get the winner of that game. The bottom part of the bracket, you've got Liberty, ILO versus Van plays Sanger, Springtown winner. And then Kaufman, I think everybody's sleeper, Kaufman versus Paris in the first round. They'll play the winner of Alvarado and Wilmer Hutchins. Congratulations to Elsie Barnett for making the playoffs there in 6-4A Division 1. That's the Division 1 playoffs. Division 2 playoffs, the teams in our area are in Region 1, not Region 2. You've got Aubrey and Ferris squaring off. They'll play the winner of Sweetwater Dalhart. Sweetwater is really good, state-ranked right now. Salina faces Venus. Salina gets a pretty tough second-round matchup between Monahans and Bushland. Monahans probably going to be the favorite in that.
Your breadth of knowledge in this is impressive.
Well, Monahans, they're like a real funky running team. They run like a wing T, that kind of stuff. It's a hard offense to prepare for. Madison, congratulations to Madison, the district champs there in 4A Division II. They face Anna in the first round of the playoffs, and they'll face Perryton, Lubbock Greenwood, not Lee Greenwood, but I always see L Greenwood, and I laugh.
You feel proud to be an American.
I do. Bottom part of the bracket, actually Region 2, we did have some teams that competed in those districts but didn't advance to the playoffs. Right. Gilmer sits astride that thing like a behemoth.
Right.
Like the Colossus of Rhodes. They're going to win that region. Pilot Point didn't make the playoffs. Kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. 3A, Division 1, Region 2. Pottsboro Commerce faces Winsboro and White Oak. Sunnyvale. Sunnyvale's only made the playoffs once and have never won a playoff game. They get Van Alstine in the first round of the playoffs, and then that game, the winner plays Dangerfield, a traditional powerhouse, versus Sabine. Bottom part of that bracket, Scurry Rosser and Kalispell. I love me some Scurry Rosser. Kalispell's probably the favorite in that. And Whitesboro and Caddo Mills are the absolute bitty-bitty-boom-boom of that bracket. Taps!
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
I think
send your complaints to Avi Zalen. A. Zalen at DallasNews.com talking about private schools. Bishop Dunn, clearly the favorite.
10-0.
10-0. They don't play this coming week. They get a bye. They face the winner of Austin, St. Michael's, and Tomball Concordia Lutheran. A really interesting matchup between Bishop Lynch and St. Pius X. St. Pius X always been pretty good.
Out of Houston. They're really good.
Out of Houston. They're 8-2. Bishop Lynch going to have to step up in that game. They'll face the winner of that game will face Brownsville, St. Joseph, and Midland Christian. Played probably Laredo. Where do you play that game?
Mars.
Brownsville versus Midland in the first round of the Taps playoffs. Bless you, traveling Taps fans.
Well, they are. They're Taps.
Prestonwood Christian, they don't get a first round bye. They'll have to play San Antonio Central Catholic in the second round if they can get past Beaumont Kelly in the first
round. Beaumont Kelly Bulldogs.
Ryan Cash are Beaumont Kelly.
They
used to be in the same district that my dad coached in.
They went winless while I was there, they didn't win a game.
And now they were 4-6 in the playoffs.
Good for them.
Ryan Cash, our offensive player of the week, he passed the 10,000-yard passing mark, which is there's only been a handful of quarterbacks in the state that have done it. Congratulations.
And his arm's still attached. Good job.
He's big baseball.
Oklahoma product. State commit.
Yep. And then you have Nolan Catholic out of Fort Worth facing Argyle Liberty Christian. The bottom part of the bracket, they face Houston St. Thomas, and I think St. Thomas is the favorite to make a run all the way, and it'll have to get past Prestonwood. But you could see a Prestonwood Dunn rematch there in the state final.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, Region 2, you've got Fort Worth Christian facing Austin Hyde Park, and then you've got the winner of that faces Arlington Grace Prep and Austin Regents. It was surprising to see Parish Episcopal lose, but the Episcopal gets a Holy Cross out of San Antonio. They might have to face Grapevine Faith Christian in the second round of the playoffs, so their path could be Grapevine Faith Christian in the second round, Fort Worth Christian in the third round. Mm. Bottom part of that bracket really opens up well for some of the Houston area schools, although Dallas Christian is in the bottom, the lowest game in the bracket, facing Sugarland Fort Bend Christian there. Division 3 in Taps playoffs. Well, we do have the defending state champs, and it's worth mentioning that they're back in the playoffs again. TC Cedar Hill.
Yep.
Continues to roll on. You've got First Baptist in there. You've got Colleyville Covenant. It's a really interesting matchups. Top part of the bracket, Munster Sacred Heart. Delicious sausages made in Munster.
Great cheese.
And TC Cedar Hill and good cheese too. You could see a potential third round rematch between First Baptist and Cedar Hill there in the third round, which would be the semifinals of the Taps playoffs. Make sure that you stick with Sports Day HS. We'll have the fancy brackets from Avi coming up here shortly here on Monday.
I'm getting them done.
We'll have previews and
should
game stories.
Week.
And it'll be a crazy. It's always a crazy week in the first round of the playoffs. But for Matt Wixon, Avi Zalen, and Rihanna Walker, thanks for listening and subscribe to us on iTunes.